Morning, everyone. Today's shiur is sponsored for a shidduch for Eliana Rivka Bas Shoshana. She should find her Bashert Karev amongst all the other people in Kali Yisrael that need shidduchim. Just to finish up one halacha which we left off last week that I said I had wanted to speak to Rabbi Sachs about, so I took the opportunity last night by the dinner and I bothered him right away about one question. I always get a lot of pleasure whenever there's a halacha that I'm not able to come out, a practical halacha lemaisa, and then I speak to Rabbi Sachs, and then he's also not able to pin it down like we discussed by the silver foil and the crockpots. So this was something similar. We had discussed last week as far as when somebody drinks liquid. So we said the amount to make a bracha achreina on a liquid is a revius, that's clear. But the question was, how fast does a person have to drink that? It was very nagea by tea and coffee and cocoa and soup, but by all liquids, it's the same halacha. And how fast? We said that the Mishnah Berurah says the custom, the minig is to only if you drink a revius in two quick gulps, or one, of course. And I had pointed out that I found that hard to believe that that is the minig even nowadays, that people who make bracha chronos on drinks are only if they drank it very, very quickly. Many paiskim said that you have the same 3 or 4 minute span. So I asked Rabbi Sachs what we should come out lahalacha, and he also was not able to give me a straight answer. He said, it's hard to know. He said, I said, I really don't find that people drink it in two quick gulps. He said, yeah, just stress the fact that they should try to drink it as quick as possible. So I said, so practically, I said, let's say somebody doesn't drink it as quick as possible and they drink it within 3 or 4 minutes, should they make a bracha achreina or not? He said, just stress the fact that they should drink it as fast, as quick as possible. So just to take it one further step, okay, besides that I'm stressing the fact to at least have, you don't have to drink the entire drink as fast, as long as you have a revius, which we could go with Moshe Feinstein, and for this chumrah to have 3.3 ounces within one or two gulps. But practically, I will tell you, if you look at the Piskei Tshuvos, or you have one of the men in your family look at the Piskei Tshuvos, plenty of paiskim you have to rely on. If you drink a revius within a 3 or 4 minute span, you can go ahead, you should go ahead and make a bracha achreina. But yes, the best would be to try to drink it in a quicker time than that.
So how much is a revius if I'm drinking this?
Let's say 3.3 ounces for this halacha. What we're going to start with today is the halachos of shir equal, which we came up in the past couple of weeks. Shir equal. Shir means the amount of time. As you know, shir is time. And equal is ayin yud chaf vav lamid. The translation of the word equal means digestion. And what this halacha means is, let's say I eat, and I have a kezias, I know I have a kezias, I know I had a revius, and I did not make my bracha achreina right away, but I forgot. And then at some later point, I realize, I'm talking about where I know for a fact, I realize that I did not make a bracha achreina. How much time do I have to still make my bracha achreina? We discussed last week as far as going back to the place where you ate. We discussed that last week. But let's say without those issues, how much time do I have to still make my bracha achreina? So the halacha is the following. We need to know two things. There's no difference over here between food and drink, and there's no difference between a bar nefashos and alamichya and a brichas amazon, but we need to know two halachos. I'll say it slowly, this way you could write it down. If a person is still not hungry yet because of the food that they ate, if a person, not that they're full necessarily, they don't have to be full, but if they're not hungry yet because of the food that they ate, then the halacha is you can still make your bracha achreina. Meaning, for example, let's say it's 2 hours after your meal, but you had a very big meal, whether you washed or whether you didn't wash. Even if you didn't wash, you could have a very big meal. You could have steak and rice and salad and drinks. If you are not hungry yet because of what you ate, then you can still make your bracha achreina. A lot of people are under the misconception, which I was also until I learned these halachos, that it all depends on 72 minutes. It's not true. If a person is not hungry yet because of the food that they ate, even if it's more than 72 minutes, they can and should still make the bracha achreina. And it would depend on how much you ate. If you ate a big meal, then you would still be hungry. You would still not be hungry yet because of the food that you ate, and you need to make your bracha achreina. If it is less than 72 minutes after you finished eating, This is number two. That's the halacha number one. That if you are not hungry yet because of what you ate, you still make your bracha achreina.
Even after 72 minutes.
5 hours later, really? 100 hours later. Oh. It's not going to happen 100 hours later. You're going to be hungry again.
Okay.
But if you are not hungry yet because of what you ate, then you are able to make your bracha achreina. Halacha number two is that if it is within 72 minutes, then you are still able to make your bracha achreina even if you are hungry. Let's say I just had one bag of potato chips, and let's say it's a kazaya, so I need to make my bracha achreina. If it's within 72 minutes, then even if I am hungry, because I just had a small snack, I just had one apple, so of course I'm hungry again. 20 minutes later, I'm hungry again. But we say the halacha is, this is how the bir halacha comes out. If it is within 72 minutes, then automatically you are able to still make your bracha achreina, even if you are hungry. Now this that we're saying, that within 72 minutes you can still make your bracha achreina, do not think that, okay, I'm not in the mood of making my bracha achreina right now, I still have 72 minutes, it's not a problem, I might as well wait. A person should not do that for two reasons. Reason number one is quite obvious, that you're all guess, is that you may forget. You say, oh, I have plenty of time to make my bracha achreina, I still should not do that because I could get busy with other things and I may forget to make my bracha achreina. So that is reason number one why a person should not just simply push off until 71 minutes. And the second reason is that this number of 72 that we're saying, that if it's within... If we say that the halacha is, we're saying that within 72 minutes you can still make your bracha achreina, that number is really not so clear in halacha. There are those that say that it's less than 72 minutes, and already after 30 minutes, you're not able to make your bracha achreina. So practically, halacha l'maaseh, if it's within 72 minutes, you can still make your bracha achreina. But it's not preferable to just simply wait for 72 minutes to make your bracha achreina, because it's not agreed upon by everybody. There are those that say that it's less than that amount of time. Again, I'm not talking about bracha rishayna. We spoke about that last week as far as hesach hadas. But the best is to make your bracha achreina as soon as possible. But practically speaking, if it's within 72 minutes, you still make your bracha achreina, even if you are hungry.
Okay, but if it's, let's say, 2 hours later, it's very likely you'll be in a different location. So what about having to go back?
So we spoke about that last week. We spoke about that last week. I'm talking about without going back to your place. Do you need to make a bracha achreina, wherever it is, back where you were, over there, inconvenient, that we all spoke about last week. But can I still make my bracha achreina? But it's two very different halachas. One is where I make my bracha achreina, and before that we need to know, do I make a bracha achreina? So if the answer to my question is yes, I do make a bracha achreina, then you need to know what we discussed last week. Do you have to go back to the original place? Do you not have to go back to the original place? That depends on what the bracha achreina is and how inconvenient, we discussed that. But as far as do I make a bracha achreina in the first place, that is, even if it's more than 72 minutes, if you're not hungry yet, and if it's less than 72 minutes, you do. If a person washed. So a person had bread, and they had bread, let's say a kazayis of bread, they know they have to make a bracha achreina, let's say 2 o'clock. And throughout their meal, they had other foods. They had gefilte fish at 2:10, and chopped liver at 2:20, and they had shalt at 2:30, and time goes on and on and on. Then the halacha is that everything is tafel to the bread, everything is considered part of that bread meal, and even if you ate 2 hours, it's now let's say 4 o'clock, and you're not hungry anymore, let's say you had a small meal, but it's 2 hours after you ate the bread at 2 o'clock, but it's within 72 minutes of the other food that you ate. Meaning, let's say I ate bread at 2 o'clock, and I had chopped liver at 3 o'clock, and right now it's 4 o'clock. So I'm hungry because I had very little bread and very little chopped liver. All I had was a kazayas. But we say the halacha is that since it is within 72 minutes of the other food that I ate, of the chopped liver, then we say that that is all part of my bread meal. And we don't say, oh, well, it's 2 o'clock from when I ate the bread, and I don't make a bracha achreina. No, we say that it's all part of the meal, and my meal continues till 3 o'clock. Whatever I'm eating is very nogea by a Shabbos meal. Let's say I have a kazayas of challah in the beginning of the meal, and then the rest of the meal I have, fish, chicken, liver, chalent, whatever it is, but I look at my watch, and I realize that it's way after the bread that I ate, but it's still within 72 minutes of the other foods that I ate, then we say that you still make a bracha achreina. Where it gets complicated is where it's not bread. Let's say it's mezonos, and let's say it's an apple. So let's say at 2 o'clock I have pretzels, and 3 o'clock I have an apple. And then at 4 o'clock, I realized I never made an alamichia from my pretzel. So there, but I'm not hungry yet because of the apple that I ate at 3 o'clock, but I am hungry as far as the mezonos is concerned. It gets complicated. It's a discussion in the Piskei Tshuvos. The best is you make your bracha achreina as soon as possible.
Could you go back over that again?
As far as the bread?
The bread, yeah.
When we have a bread meal, we say that everything that you eat is considered subordinate to the bread.
You don't make any other brachas.
As far as bracha rishayna, you don't make any other bracha. But let's say as far as the bracha achrona, the after bracha, we say that you don't count your time based on the bread. Even though you ate your bread at the beginning of the meal, we say you count your time, the 72 minutes, or what you're hungry from all the other foods that you ate at a later point. And therefore we say the 72 minutes is counted from all those other foods, not from the bread that you had in the way beginning of the meal.
You're benching still.
Let's say you realize, oh, I never benched, but you realize the challah that I had was more than 72 minutes ago. Let's say I'm hungry because I didn't have a lot of food.
Okay.
So the challah was more than 72 minutes ago, but the other foods that I ate throughout the meal was less than 72 minutes ago. So the halacha is that you still make your bracha achrona as if it is still within 72 minutes. Even though the bread, I'm saying berachas hamazon, even though the bread was more than 72 minutes ago, but everything is part of the bread meal. That is what we need to know for the halachos of shir ikol as far as the time of digestion. Yeah.
So how come there are some people that like before they bench, they'll eat another kazayis of bread?
On Friday night, people do that if they make early Shabbos because they want to then...
Oh, so maybe that's as far as Friday night. I think we discussed that over the summer.
I remember being like at Shabbos Sudas where somebody will eat another slice of bread. I'll be like, oh, it's been... whatever, let me eat another.
Perhaps they're trying to be machmir. That... you know, it should be within 72 minutes of a kezayis of bread. Halacha l'maisa, we don't say that needs to be. The Mishnah Berurah says it doesn't have to be like that. I have to check up the Mishnah Berurah again. Perhaps he brings those that disagree, and that's just simply how the Mishnah Berurah comes out. Perhaps there's other places that disagree. Maybe that'll be a chumr, but halacha l'maisa, you don't have to do that. Yeah.
So let's say your breakfast, you're sitting in your car driving, you can make your bracha then.
So definitely you need to make your bracha achrona. If it's an hour is 60 minutes, which is less than 72. As far as where you make a bracha achrona, that's a different discussion. If you had breakfast and it was only an alamichya that's required, so we said it's a little bit more lenient as far as going back to the original place. If you've been driving for 60 minutes already, then even for brachas hamazon, it would definitely be considered very inconvenient to go back. Plus, by the time you got back, you wouldn't be able to make your bracha achrona anyway, because it would be more than 72 minutes. Just a small breakfast, you're probably hungry again. But if it's within 72 minutes, you still need to make your bracha achrona. What we're going to go to now is the halachos of Iker V'Tofel. This is a very, very important topic in Hilchos Brachos. We will not finish the halachos of Iker V'Tofel today, but we're starting Iker V'Tofel. Iker is Ayin Yod Kuf Reish, and Tofel is Tes Fei Lamed, and the halachos of Iker V'Tofel is one of the most fundamental issues in Hilchos Brachos, and that means when you have a primary and a secondary food. It's very, very relevant. You have a food in front of you, whether it's a snack, whether it's a meal, a dish, and there are two foods over there, and they're mixed as one. And you look at the two foods, and they're two different brachos. Which one? We have to find situations where there'll be one bracha, sometimes there will be two brachos, and how do we determine which food is the ikar? But the basic understanding is the following. If I have a food, and that food is mixed with two foods, so the main food, the primary food, is called the ikar. That's the main. Ikar means the main. And the tafel means the secondary food, the subordinate food. We'll see various situations. But the understanding is the following. This is very, very important for halachos that we may not get to today, but for halachos that we'll get to next time, Be'ez Hashem. And the Paiskim say the following. Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Chazon Ish, they say the following. When we have an ikar and a tafel, and we know the halacha is, the Mishnah tells us, that you make the bracha on the ikar, and you do not make the bracha on the tafel. That's a halacha that you all know. The understanding is the following. I stress this to my students, and this is a question on the test, and half of them still get it wrong. The halacha is the following. It's not pshat, it's not that the tafel does not require a bracha. The tafel requires a bracha. Definitely it requires a bracha. However, the bracha that we make on the ikar is the bracha on the tafel as well. It's not that we say, oh, the tafel, the secondary food, it's not important, it doesn't require a bracha. That's not true. Every single food that you eat, we'll talk about water separately, but every food or drink that you have needs to have a bracha. It's just that when that food is the tafel, then the bracha that requires is the bracha of the ikar. I mean, just for example, have a lasagna. So in the lasagna, there's pasta, and there's cheese. The cheese is shahakal. The sauce is shahakal. The spinach is hadama, right? Mm-hmm. So we all know, you have a lasagna, you only make mizonos. It's not that the spinach doesn't need a bracha. It's not that the sauce doesn't need a bracha. It's not that the cheese doesn't need a bracha. They need a bracha. Just the bracha on the cheese is the bracha of the pasta. The bracha on... which is the mizonos. The bracha that you make on the tafel is the bracha of the ikar. And we'll see that this is going to make a tremendous difference in halacha in at least three or four situations, which are complicated, so we're going to wait until we get more into ikar v'tafel. But that is the understanding. That's where Moshe Feinstein explains in the Chazon Ish, and it seems to be clear that way in the Shulchan Aruch and in the Mishnah itself, that the bracha tafel needs a bracha. It's just that the bracha on the ikar covers the bracha of the tafel. You're making one bracha, and it covers both foods. So we need to discuss now, and this is all very important, because if you make a bracha on the ikar, and then you go ahead and make a bracha on the tafel, that is a bracha levatala. We have to discuss separately the brachas of bracha levatala and bracha sheni tzricha. We'll get to that bez Hashem, not today. But if someone makes a bracha on the ikar, and then they also make a bracha on the tafel, that is a bracha levatala, because you already made a bracha on the tafel. When you made your bracha on the ikar, that covered the tafel. Therefore, we need to discuss these halachos, which are practical almost every single day. The question?
How do you know when this situation...
So that's good. Let's discuss that. That's what we're going to discuss right now. All the details, what makes something a ikar v'tafel combination, and then how do we determine which one it is. So we need to discuss two steps, and let's not confuse the two steps. We need to discuss two very important steps. Step number one is what determines when something is an ikar and a tafel combination. That is step number one. First, we need to determine this food that I have in front of me. Is this an ikar v'tafel combination that it requires only one bracha? Or is this not an ikar v'tafel combination and it requires two brachas? So that is step number one we're going to discuss. When do I require one bracha? And when do I require two brachas? That is step number one. Step number two that we're going to discuss is, if I do have an ikar v'tafel combination that I require only one bracha, so step number two is, how do I determine which one is the ikar? Sometimes it'll be very easy, sometimes it won't. But that's step number two, determining which one bracha I make. But that is going to be step number two. First, we're going to discuss, when do I have an ikar v'tafel combination? Again, some of them are pretty obvious, but sometimes some of them are not. So step number one is to determine, when do I make one bracha, when do I make two? And step number two we're going to discuss is, when I do make only one bracha, how do I determine which bracha is that one bracha? So step number one, how do I determine what is an ikar v'tafel combination? There are four examples of an ikar v'tafel combination. Some of them will overlap, but there are four combinations of an ikar v'tafel. What constitutes an ikar v'tafel? Example number one is when you have two foods that are mixed together, that they all come up on one spoonful. Again, example number one of an ikar v'tafel combination is when you have two foods that are different brachos. If they're all the same bracha, of course, it's not nogea. If you have two foods that are different bracha rishonas that are mixed together, that they come up in one spoonful or in one forkful, or if it's a hand food, then in one handful. For example, cholent many times is like that. Again, I'm not discussing now what is the bracha on cholent. I'm discussing how many brachos are on cholent. Let's say you have cholent on Thursday night, Friday afternoon, on Sunday, whatever it is that you didn't wash. So cholent is a mixture. If you have a cholent that the potatoes and the meat are cut up in small pieces, for sure, a caterer's cholent is always small pieces, but a lot of times a homemade cholent. Depends how you cut up your meat and how you cut up the potatoes. If they are small pieces, then now the cholent, together with the barley, with the potato, the barley's mizonos, the potatoes are hadama, the meat is shahakal, If those come up in one spoonful and one forkful, then that requires only one bracha on the chont. Again, I'm not discussing now what is that one bracha. We'll get to that separately. But such a chont would require only one bracha. Let's say you have a fruit cocktail. Fruit cocktail has, let's say, it has ha'etz in it, and it has hadama in it. Pineapples are hadama, and the mandarin oranges or the cut-up peaches are ha'etz. So how is your fruit cocktail? Is the fruit cocktail cut up into small pieces, or is it in big pieces? Those little fruit cups that you buy in Kosher Connection, those are small pieces. If you take a spoonful and you give a scoop randomly, of course, if you're careful to take only one will come up. But just in a normal manner, a spoonful, it would come up two different brachos on one spoonful. That requires only one bracha. Lasagna, like we said before, of course, you take one forkful of lasagna, that's going to have a mezonos on it and a shahakal on it. That requires only one bracha. I'm not discussing now which bracha. That requires only one bracha. Foods that are placed, this is all still part of example number one. Foods that are placed on two sides of a plate. I have chicken on one side of the plate, which is shahakal, and I have rice on one side of the plate, that's mezonos. And then I have salad, let's say like a triangle. I have salad on another part of the plate, which is hadama. That is not considered mixed together. Those are on different sides of the plate. They do not come in the same forkful, and they do not require one bracha. They require a separate bracha on each of the foods. Even if I specifically go ahead and I take my fork and I put on the fork chicken, salad, and rice. Some people like to eat all their foods mixed together. Maybe it depends what foods, but some people like to scoop it all together in one spoonful or one forkful. That does not make it into an ikar v'tafel combination. Just because I specifically go ahead and purposely get the foods all in one forkful, that doesn't make it an ikar v'tafel combination. It has to be in a situation where randomly, subconsciously, I would just take a spoon or a fork and scoop in, and both of them would come up together. Then that requires only one bracha. I would think, based on this, if I have a plate full of spaghetti and I plop a bunch of meatballs on top of the spaghetti, maybe the sauce dribbles down, but I would think that requires two separate brachos. Of course, I could go ahead and have the spaghetti together with the meatballs, but if the meatballs are just plopped on top, that is not an ikar v'tafel combination, unless I would go ahead, take my fork, chop up the meatballs, and mix it all together with the spaghetti. You want to eat it like that, because in tehet, I would imagine that would make it, that would be only one bracha. Again, I'm not talking about which bracha. Would you make only the mezonos on the spaghetti, or would you make only the shakal on the meatballs? I'm sure you know the answer to that question, but we're not up to that yet. If I would go ahead and specifically mix it together, that would make it one combination. I would not suggest doing such a thing. It just comes into questions in regards to halacha. I know whenever we have spaghetti and meatballs at home, before I even put anything on a plate, I make a mezonos on the spaghetti, I make a shahakal on the meatballs, and then I put it together. But practically, if it's served to you like that, or if you serve it like that, if it's just plopped on top, I would think it's two separate brachos. If it's you go ahead and mix it together, that would be one bracha. Fine. That is example number one, as far as what makes an ikar v'tafel combination if it comes up in one spoonful. Example number two is, and a lot of example number two will overlap with example number one many times, but example number two is when you have one food that is there just to enhance the other food. If you have a food that is there just to enhance the other food, then that is an ikar v'tafel combination and only one bracha is required. For example, let's say you have salad. This is an obvious example. You have salad, and you have salad dressing all over the salad. So the salad is hadama. The salad dressing is shahakal, of course. Then that only requires one bracha. The salad dressing is there just to enhance the salad. If you have latkes, let's say, are hadama, and the applesauce is, let's say, shahakal. The applesauce usually is there just to enhance the latkes, and that would require only one bracha. We'll discuss which bracha. Let's say you have applesauce left over at the end, milk left over at the end of the cereal. We'll discuss all of these when we discuss which bracha is required. But as far as one bracha, you have the milk enhancing the cereal. The basic understanding is that the milk, we'll see exceptions later, but the basic understanding is that the milk is there to enhance the cereal. If it's Trix or Cocoa Puffs, then anyways, that's shahakal, so course, you only make a shakal because the milk is shakal and Trix and Cocoa Puffs is shakal. If you have a Mizono cereal or a Hadama cereal, then it's important to know that the milk is considered to be enhancing the cereal. If you have a carrot or a celery dipped in peanut butter, the peanut butter is there to enhance the carrot or the celery. You have a cracker and you have tuna or jam, jelly spread on the cracker. The understanding is that it's there just to enhance the cracker. Again, I'm not discussing which bracha.
Really? No jam, let's say. But not
a jam
tuna.
Spread on a cracker.
Oh, but not
tuna.
Tuna? Maybe it would depend how much, but the general understanding is you have a thin layer of tuna spread on a cracker.
Really?
Quite possibly it's there just to enhance. I would imagine I think the Pesachim say this. Maybe it depends how much. If you have a doubt in regards to that, how you're eating it, as far as maybe that's not considered enhancing, make a bracha on the cracker, make a bracha on the tuna, and then you
you
would put it together.
Doubt,
we'll discuss that case more when we discuss as far as what... which one you're having in mind to eat. That'll be as far as which bracha.
So when you have
make.
A doubt, like what you said with the meatballs.
When you have a doubt, the best is to eat
make the bracha first.
Separately, and then you put them together.
Okay.
Yeah.
This would include like chocolate-covered things?
We're going to discuss chocolate-covered raisins and chocolate-covered peanuts. We're going to, Bez Hashem, get to that.
So it's in this criteria? Or
It would depend. Possibly. It's a big discussion with Moshe and others as far as chocolate-covered raisins, chocolate-covered peanuts. We have to discuss.
People value like sushi.
We have to discuss sushi. We're going to discuss sushi, but that's going to get involved in as far as which bracha to make. Right now, we're discussing how many brachas to make. Yeah, with sushi, we have to discuss sushi separately. We're going to discuss ice cream cones and ice cream sandwiches, chocolate-covered peanuts and raisins and stuffed cabbage. We're going to discuss everything, but we're going to discuss that more when we discuss which bracha to make. Right now, we're still discussing how many brachas to make. But yeah, sushi should be one bracha, basically. Well, okay. We'll see. That is example number two as far as enhancing. Example number three is the following. Let's say you have a food that has a very salty taste. If you have a food that is very salty taste or very spicy taste or very hot, and I don't mean in temperature, but it means a very spicy or salty taste. The Gemara's example, the Mishnah's example is salty fish. In those days, they had fish that was very, very salty. And what they needed to do was, after they ate the fish, they needed to have some type of bread. They ate bread or a cracker to douse the salty or spicy taste. That is example number three of a tefil. And if a person has a very salty food or very spicy food and they need to eat another food just to douse that salty or spicy taste, then that other food is considered a tefil. Even if it's bread. Even if it's bread, that food is considered a tefil. However, hold on one second. The Mishnah Berurah says that this example number three is very hard to rely on practically. And the reason is that a person needs to be 100% positive that they are eating this food only to get rid of the salty taste. If I'm eating this cracker or this bread also for nourishment purposes, to eat it because I enjoy the food itself, then a person cannot say that this food is 100% considered a tefil. But theoretically, if a person is eating it totally for to get rid of a spicy taste, then a person would not make a bracha. Many times you'll come to a kiddush and you'll see herring. It's usually only on the men's side, but there's herring by a kiddush. And a lot of times, what do you see right next to the herring? A plate of crackers. The idea is that the herring is considered salty, and the cracker is there to help a person eat the herring because it's considered salty. If a person wants to not make a mizonos on the crackers because it's there really just to help the salty taste of the herring, a person would need to be 100% positive that they are only eating the cracker for the purpose of getting rid of the salty taste. If they're eating it for some other reason, then it would require its own separate mizonos. But that is example number three.
Isn't it example two though? It's just enhancing.
It's not really to enhance, it's to get rid, it's really just to get rid of something bad. When I have a cracker, or when I have a carrot and I dip it in peanut butter, the peanut butter is there to make the carrot, I like it, to make the carrot better, to make the carrot better. This bread is not to make the salty fish better. It's really just to get rid of not a bad taste. I wouldn't have eaten it if it's a bad taste, but to get rid of something else. Yeah, perhaps it's a similar type of logic that it's a tefil, but it's a different example. Yeah.
Do you have to have in mind the bread before you eat the fish?
No, you don't have to. If you eat the salty fish and you realize, oh, this is so salty, this is so spicy, what could I eat to get rid of this taste? And water won't help for that, so you go ahead and then you eat the bread. Yeah.
This might be a little bit off, but what happens like you sometimes get something stuck in your throat, so you want to want to eat a piece of bread or a cracker, like to get it down?
So that we'll discuss in regards to water. The Mishnah's example is if chanik de umsa, if a person drinks water just to get rid of a bone that they're choking on, they would not make a bracha. But the other foods, we say that halacha is that you would make a bracha.
What if you put the herring on the cracker?
You wouldn't wash. Maybe you would wash, but without a bracha.
If you put the herring on the cracker, you like to eat it that way. So.
So then
which
you would
which is the tuffle? Like,
okay,
so you're
asking
like
already.
That.
You're asking already which is the ikker. That we're not up to yet.
Up to, yeah, okay.
Right, but if a person is putting the herring on the cracker only because just to douse the salty taste of the cracker of the herring,
okay,
they would not make a bracha on the cracker. Only if they're 100% positive that that's the only reason why they're eating it. Yeah.
So if you eat something like, let's say, garlicky, and you want to have like a mint candy afterwards or chew.
So again, if you are 100%, again, the Mishnah Berurah tells us, if you are 100% positive that you are only eating this minty candy to get rid of that taste, yes, you would not make a bracha on that candy.
But if you enjoy that minty candy,
so
but
exactly.
Not, you wouldn't be eating it now had you not eaten it.
So if you enjoy it, but you are still 100% positive, I find that hard to believe. If you really enjoy this minty candy, but you are still 100% positive that you have no interest right now in this minty candy. Yesterday you did, but right now you have no interest in it. It's just only because of the salty taste. Then yeah, you would not make a bracha. But you have to be positive about that.
So with the bread, do you have to wash?
So you
have
to you wash without a bracha. You would wash without a bracha. It's very
herring,
impractical.
Right?
Sorry?
If you have the piece of bread, because I know, like, I hate spicy food, but everybody else in my family
you would definitely
does.
Not make a bracha on the tilos adam. I think you would wash, but without a bracha. You'd wash without a bracha. Rather a bracha on the tilos adam. And totally without a bracha on motzi. But even without.
So is it better than not to take bread, but take something else?
You want
to
get rid of the spicy taste? You're allowed to. No, you can't. You're allowed to. Example number four is a halacha that you all know, just you may not have realized this is why this is the halacha. Example number four is anything that you eat during a bread meal. Any food that you eat during a bread meal is considered tafel to the bread, except for desserts, which we'll have to discuss Bez Hashem at a different time, maybe next week. But any food that you eat that is considered a meal type food, why don't we make a separate bracha on the gefilte fish, or on the chicken soup, or on the liver, and the egg salad, the chont, whatever it is? Because it is tafel to the challah that I ate. Even if I ate the challah a half hour ago, anything that I eat during a bread meal, we say is considered tafel to the bread. And that is why it does not require its own bracha. It does require a bracha, but it got its bracha when you made the hamotzi on the challah. That is example number four. Any food, any meal type food that you eat during a bread meal. So that is those are the four examples of ikker v'tafel combinations. Again, example number one is when it comes up in the same spoonful. Example number two is when it's there to enhance the other food. Example number three is just to douse a salty or spicy taste. And example number four is any meal type food that you eat during a bread meal. That is all step number one, as far as which foods, which combinations are considered an ikka v'tafel combination. Now we need to discuss what you all want to know is, when I do have an ikka v'tafel combination, how do I determine which one is the ikka? Now some of them are going to be pretty obvious, but some of them are not going to be so obvious. So generally, we have three determining factors for determining which food is the ikka. Three determining factors, and you go in order. First, you go to determining factor number one. If determining factor number one doesn't work, then you go to number two, and then to number three. So determining factor number one is the following. Whichever food you are coming to eat, that food is the ikker. Again, if it's a food that you make two brachos, because it's not an ikker v'tamba combination, then of course you make two brachos. But if it's one food, you determine that now there's only one bracha being made. Whichever food you are coming to eat, then that food is the ikker. Not whichever food you like. Any girl that writes that on my test, I give him an X. I get no credit. It's not whichever food you like. You could like both foods. I like the carrot and I like the peanut butter. I like the salad and I like the salad dressing. But which one am I coming to eat? Whichever one I am coming to eat, that is the first determining factor, and that is considered the ikker. We'll discuss mizonos foods separately. Mizonos we're going to have to discuss separately. You'll notice all the examples that I've been giving, except for lasagna, but now, in this example, with the carrot and the peanut butter and the salad and the dressing, these are all not mizonos foods. We'll discuss mizonos foods separately. But as far as non-mizonos foods, whichever food I am coming to eat. Let me give some more examples and then it'll be clear. I want to eat latkes. But I don't want to eat the latkes plain. I want to have the applesauce to make the latkes more gishmak. I am coming to eat the latkes. So therefore, it requires only a hadama. Even though I'm also eating the applesauce, it requires only a hadama. I have a sour cream on a potato. I am eating the potato. I want to have the sour cream to make it more gishmak. So then we say that you only make a hadama on the sour cream, on the hadama on the potato. Let's say I have french fries. French fries are hadama. I don't want to eat french fries plain. I want to dip it in ketchup. Ketchup is shahakal. The ketchup is not what I'm coming to eat. I'm coming to eat the french fry. Therefore, I only make hadama on the french fries. I had a friend in yeshiva that he loved ketchup. He ate ketchup with everything. He took those little packets of ketchup and he opened it and sucked out the ketchup plain. So let's say he was in the mood of, my students get grossed out when I say that.
I know people like that. Maybe it's
the same. Yeah. So let's say one day he wants to eat ketchup. He's in the mood of eating ketchup. But for whatever reason, he's not in the mood of eating ketchup plain today. So he wants to eat ketchup with something else. So, look, perfect. There's french fries. Let me dip the french fry in ketchup. And this way I could have my ketchup. He would make only a shahakal on the french fry dipped in ketchup. He likes the french fries, whilst he wouldn't be eating it. But since he is here to eat the ketchup, he happens to dip it in french fries to make the ketchup even better. He would make only a shahakal on the ketchup. I'll give you another example that one time happened to me. My wife one time bought a salad dressing. It was a store-bought salad dressing. And she served salad. And instead of making a dressing, she just, we just used that salad dressing. I tasted it for the first time. I don't remember what it was called, otherwise I would tell you. But it was a very, very good salad dressing. It was really good, and it was really delicious. Now, I had already made a hadama on the salad, and I had already made a shahakal on chicken or something like that. So it wasn't nogea practically, but I took doubles of the salad because I was still hungry. But then I took triples of the salad and the salad dressing for the sole purpose of having the salad dressing again. The salad dressing was really good. It was the first time I ever had it. And I took triples, I took again from the salad only for the salad dressing. If that was such a situation, let's say the next day, I see there's still salad dressing left and there's still, let's say, some salad left over. And I went ahead and I made myself some salad with salad dressing only to have the salad dressing, I would make only a shahakal. Now, again, that night that happened not to be nogea because I had already made a shahakal. And like we said last week, it was normal when I made my shahakal on the chicken. Whatever else I'm going to have, that shahakal is included in that. But that is just to show this first determining factor, whichever one you are there to eat. Because of this, what we said before, hold on 1 second. Let's say I eat, we'll go back to the latkes for a second, and I have applesauce. I finish up all my latkes, and there's still some applesauce left at the end of my plate. So I'm not going to throw it out. Of course, I eat just the plain applesauce. Do I need to make a separate bracha on that applesauce?
No.
No, why not?
Made a bracha.
Because when I made, very good, because when I made my hadama on the applesauce, I already made my bracha. When I made the hadama on the latkes, I already made my hadama on the applesauce. I already made a bracha on it. So it's not that once all the latkes are finished and I only have applesauce left, now it requires a bracha. It doesn't. I already made a bracha on the applesauce. If I only have milk left at the end of my cereal bowl, I do not make a separate shahakal on that milk. We all know that. Why not? Because when I made my mizonos on the cereal, it already covered the milk, and I already made a bracha on the milk. That is determining factor number one as far as which one is the ikar, which one is the tafel. Any question?
Yeah, I have a question. Most people would not eat plain salad.
Okay.
So by definition, you're eating salad because of the salad dressing on it, even though you want the salad, but
It could get tough, but the halacha is still clear that what am I eating? What am I coming to?
Eating the salad because
right, but
you want the salad.
Yes, I love the salad dressing, and I would not eat the salad plain. I wouldn't eat the salad plain. I don't like salad plain. It's too dry. I wouldn't eat the salad plain. I would only eat the salad if I have the salad dressing to make it more enjoyable. Still, once I have that salad dressing, what am I coming to eat? I'm coming to eat the salad. I am coming to eat the salad. I wouldn't eat it unless I have something to make it better and to make it more juicy or whatever it is. Still, which one to enhance it? But which one am I coming to eat? I am coming to eat the salad. You're true, you're making a very good point, but this is the halacha. Even if I would only eat it together with the salad dressing, still, which one am I coming to eat? I am coming to eat the salad. A lot of times, we don't have determining factor number one. I'm coming to eat both equally. I have an ikar v'tafel combination that I'm coming to eat both equally. It's not like a salad with a salad dressing or a French fry with ketchup or latkes with applesauce. It's just two foods mixed together and I'm coming to eat both equally. Let's say the fruit cocktail we said before. Which one am I coming to eat? I'm not coming to eat the pineapple and I'm not coming to eat the mandarin oranges. Generally speaking, when you have a fruit cocktail, you're coming to eat both. Okay, I'm not talking about when you wash. That's other halachos. But stop, I'm eating, I buy one of those fruit cups in Kosher Connection. I'm coming to eat both equally. So I do not have determining factor number one. Then we need to go to determining factor number two. If and only if I don't have determining factor number one to decide which is the bracha, then I go to determining factor number two, and that is, anybody? Right, the majority. A lot of people think that, oh, which one's ikar? Whichever one's the majority. It's not true. First you have to determine which one you're coming to eat. If you are coming to eat both equally, then you go to the majority. You come to a fruit cocktail, you take a look. If it's mostly hadama, let's say there's tons of pineapples, just there happens to be some mandarin oranges sprinkled in, and it comes up in the same spoonful, therefore we say that that's an ikar v'tafel combination. If the majority is the hadama food, then you make a hadama. If the majority is the ha'etz food, you make a ha'etz. You have to see which one is the majority. It seems from the Paiskim that it doesn't depend on 51% opposite 49%. It seems to be, it has to be, I don't know, 70-30, maybe 60-40. Perhaps it's a little bit difficult to find out exactly which one is the majority. We'll discuss determining factor number three when it's hard to determine the majority. But if something is noticeably the majority, it's already 9:59, but if something is noticeably the majority, then you go with that majority. Abshlomo Zalman Orbach says, that let's say this example of a fruit cocktail, and you have 30% mandarin oranges, which is ha'etz, you have 30% peaches, which is ha'etz, and 40% pineapples, which are hadama. You got it? So it is 60% of ha'etz and 40% of hadama. So let's assume 60 is considered a majority, just to keep the math simple. So Abshlomo Zalman Orbach says that you would make a ha'etz. If you're there to eat all of them equally, you would make a ha'etz. We don't team up each food individually. We team up the brachos by themselves. So you have the ha'etz on one side, and altogether that equals, let's say, 60%. And altogether, the hadamas, you have the 40%. Then we say the ha'etz is considered the majority. Again, but if I love pineapples, and I looked, and I went through all the containers in the store, and I found the ones that have the most pineapples, because I want to eat the pineapples. Okay, I don't mind eating the mandarin oranges, I don't mind eating the peaches, I like them also, but I'm in the mood of pineapples. So let me go eat this fruit cocktail, because I want to eat the pineapples. Then even if the pineapples are the minority, I still make only a hadama. Because first you go to the first determining factor, is which one I'm there to eat. I'm in the mood of eating pineapples. Oh great, this fruit cocktail has pineapples, let me go eat this fruit cocktail. I like the other foods also. But since I'm there to eat the pineapples, I would make only hadama, even if it's the minority. I'm there to eat both equally, which is usually the case. Then you go ahead and you make the bracha on which one is the majority. Next time, one second. Next time, Bez Hashem, we have to get to, let's say I'm there to eat both equally, and let's say there's no majority. It's 50-50, like a chocolate-covered peanut, a chocolate-covered raisin. I'm there to eat both equally, and it's basically 50-50. Or a peanut chew, that the caramel and the peanuts are basically 50-50. Or a fruit cocktail, that is basically 50-50. That, Bez Hashem, we'll have to continue next time. We have to discuss stuffed cabbage, chalent a little bit more. We have to discuss apple pie, and schnitzel and things like that, and sushi, and a lot of other geschmack food.
Thank you.